About my hobbling, as long as I don't trip over. It's been a long haul, but we're getting there through the grace of God. Now, why don't you welcome one another? Just put a hand out to the person next to you, and you know, we are the people of God, the church of God.
Welcome.
Sorry. Welcome, everybody. That was just a ruse to find my page. No, it's lovely to be back, and bless you. I'm going to begin the service by reading Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. What a mighty God we have and serve. Let's come to God with our prayers of praise and thanksgiving, and to ask for his forgiveness. Lord, we want to acknowledge and to praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you do and what you've done in the world and in our individual lives. And we come, Lord, with such gratitude today to know that you know us better than we know ourselves. Part of your nature is to love, to have mercy, to bring peace, and to bring justice into a broken world. But as we draw near to you, Lord, this morning here at Carey Baptist, we know, Lord, you're amongst us, you're moving your spirit through us and in us, and the name of Jesus is on our lips. Lord, you are great and mighty God. And we recognize too our sinfulness, our wrongdoing, but know through the work of the cross, the death of your Son Jesus Christ on that cross, he has made the place for us where we go to say, Lord, forgive us, have mercy upon us. And he promises not to remember our sin. As the psalmist writes, remember is no more as far as the east is from the west. So, Lord, we recognize when we ask for your forgiveness, we are cleansed and complete and able to take part later together in the communion that's made possible through his death and resurrection and hope for the future. Amen. Let's have the Lord's Prayer then together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now Marion's going to read to us two short passages of scripture, one from the John's Gospel and the other from Acts of the Apostles, and they are linked together from what I'm going to say later. Please come forward, Marion. I'll hold on to this.
Right. John 17, Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for you, not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through the message, that all may be done by one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to the complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even though you have loved me. Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am, and I see in my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, through the world does not know you, I know you, and they will know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. Then Acts 4:32 to 37, the believer's prayer. All the believers were on one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With the great power of the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was with them. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales and put at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone, anyone as he had. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means spirit of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet.
Marion, thank you very much.
That's all right. Got my bit left now.
Well, we're going to consider for a few minutes this morning, the title here is The Church That Grew. And with Bill coming into membership later this morning, and with the wider church in mind, I would like to look at that scripture again that Marion read to us a few moments ago, and how in this short passage we find something of the way that the Holy Spirit worked in the early church, and which points us to a model of how we as a church should operate, and how we can grow more in Jesus and more in number. And it is a three-point sermon. And the first point is this: I believe the church should be a united church. And verse 32a, the first part of verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and in mind. Now, as long as I can ever remember, I have always enjoyed the concept of the various church denominations being together. One of my earliest thoughts was when we had the Sunday school walk round in Hinckley in Leicestershire, where I was in a Sunday school, Hinckley Borough Congregational Church. Did you have the same things here in Kettering, Sunday school walk rounds? Well, when all the churches got together, they would meet together in the borough outside the big church where we were, And we walk all the way around the town, and there were flocks of people came out of the homes, some clapping, some seeing the banners, and they were listening. And it was a great thing. And I only ever remember it raining once. It was always the first Saturday in July. After the walk round, we used to go back for tea at our own churches. And the tea, yeah, lovely, put on for us. And then we would join with all the other churches in the park and have games together. And it was really fun and games in the way we did that. But there was a problem. We at Hinckley Congregational Church had potted meat or fish paste sandwiches with watered down canned fruit juice to drink. I don't recommend it. Whereas the youngsters at the Salvation Army had fresh strawberries and evaporated milk. You never got cream in those days, I assure you. But it was a wonder of the togetherness, that's my point. And later we used to go off when I was at Bedworth Baptist Church before being in ministry, off to Spring Harvest. Has anybody been to that? Ah, wonder, lovely. That's when you get the fellowship together. If I went on speaking a lot, I should be talking too much about someone I met in a queue waiting for bread. You have a bread queue, you know, sometimes at Spring Harvest, if you were doing your own catering. I better tell you, I'm going to watch the timing. This one man in the queue, he was from Birmingham, and he lived in a big high-rise flat by himself, a widower. And on the last day I met him in the queue, we used to look out for one another, and I was much younger then, and the man was in tears. And I said to him, are you okay? Why are you in tears for? He said, because when I go back to the Skyrise flat, I'll probably see no one, apart from when I come down and go somewhere else. Here, Christians surrounding and the worship and the people, it's a united church, and that's my point I'm trying to get across. How shall people miss it when it's not united and when we're not together as the body of Christ? And of course, Greenbelt is very similar. Who's been to Greenbelt? Yes, one or two. I haven't been to that. And I met somebody the other day in the minister's conference down at High Lee. They said, I know Kettering. Oh, I said, do you like the town? Oh, I haven't been to the town. I only go to Greenbelt. You must go around on the bypass or something. But it's togetherness. That's the point I'm trying to make, and it's wonderful. Now, in John 17, verse 21, we find that the challenging desire of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is that all who believe in him, and that means each one of us, should be one. In a wider sense, it's all talking about church unity. Now, for me, church unity does not mean all worshipping in the same way and following one doctrine with one leader at the top. That's a human leader at the top. But rather that we work together with the different denominations. I suppose I liken this to a dartboard. What's the main aim when you throw your darts? What you're aiming for? The bullseye. No, some of you are disagreeing with that. You want doubles, I know. But bullseye is a central thing that's got the most points. It's 50, I think, isn't it? Is that right? Yeah, on a bullseye. Well, I think to me that represents all the mainstream, and mainstream Trinitarian churches together and fellowships, of which there are many throughout, of course, the world. But the outer rings do something different. They represent for me the various diversity of emphasis and of understanding from Scripture. Now, Before you have a go at me on that one, I was with Midland Bank for 25 years. I think most of you knew that, and I was a manager. Every branch you went to, you have to go to a different branch when you get promoted. So I had a lot of branches in a fairly 25 years' time. But every branch of the Midland Bank had what was called a branch bookkeeping manual. And you had to work from the rules strictly from this branch bookkeeping manual. I think you know what I'm going to say next. Every time you went to a different branch, they had the same instructions, but nobody did it the same. Because they interpret it and some of the main aspect in a different way. That none of it, like our scriptures, is right. But it's the way we interpret things sometimes different in our own different denominations. So some churches are seen as pyramid effects, top to bottom. Others, like ourselves, are fellowship. But the Bible supports both ways of praising and worshipping our God. Now, in the local situation, such as our particular fellowship here at Carey Baptist, it's not about us nodding our heads and saying yes to keep the peace. That's not right at all. But we want to agree and to disagree, and accepting the authority, particularly in a Baptist sense of the church meeting. And for me, the church meeting is vitally important. But let me make it clear, it's not where democratic decisions are made, but where we seek the mind of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. You with me so far? Of course, it doesn't always work like that. Now, when I first came to Carey, the Olive Room, which used to be part of the church, is not now, out there, was just, I think it had just been opened or about to be opened. Do you remember that, anybody? Well, Derek told me, Derek Neal, he said, we're talking about the colour of the paint to use for the Olive Room. Some wanted green, blue, pink, and goodness knows what. He said, right, he said, we'll come back next meeting and then decide. We came back next meeting and one or two said, we still want pink or blue or whatever. And then Derek turned around and said to them, I can get you green paint for free. It's from the United Counties Buses Depot. I don't know how he got that. They were changing over to Stagecoach at the time. And who's going to vote for green? 100%. That word, free, four-letter word. Yeah. Of course, any unity has to start with prayer. As indicated earlier in Acts chapter 4, Marion read. And you see, prayer is the powerhouse of the church. And if prayer was not the powerhouse of the church, we might just as well be a social club. They can have happy times and even serve the community. We know they do. But I'm not sure or aware of any who meet for prayer. And I can illustrate that. I'm not so sure I'm supposed to tell them this. On a Friday night after Boys Brigade, which included me, where did we go to rest up and put our feet up and retire? The Midland Band Club. There's some very happy times there. It was lovely to get together and with the community. But I never ever heard anyone behind the bar offering prayer. And that's the difference. Prayer is vital. That's what we meet for. That's what we believe. God acts when we pray. Then I think there has to be a desire for the Holy Spirit to work within the church membership, to be open to his prompting and guidance, and not to discern that it is really the Holy Spirit who is working and not our own agendas. And that takes prayer and discernment and sometimes disagreement. Let's move on to my second point. The church should be a caring church. Caring, caring, caring. Interesting. The second part of verse 32 says this: no one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything that they had. And verse 34, the first part of that says this: there were no needy persons among them. Now, of course, we have to recognise the context in which it was written. A culture, of course, very different from our own. For instance, no social fund was available, no welfare to help those in need. Rather, it was a time when those folk who were elderly, sick, or disabled had to rely for the help of others or else die. And the result was that it often fell upon the wider family or the wider church or the synagogue in those days, or even the local community, to step in. In fact, the Jewish folk were, and that is still true today, renowned for their help to the community they belonged to. Again, I hearken back to my early life in Leicestershire. In the street where we used to live, and no one locked the back doors. Who remembers that? There was always somebody available to help down the road. If you had a minor injury, you'd go and see the district nurse if she was in, Nurse Brown. A lady in the street called Maria would assist with those who were dying. And Mrs. Bird, next door to us, was often knocking on Mum's door asking for some tea and sugar, to which Mum readily agreed. How times have changed in the last, well, I'm 76, as yesterday, well, Friday, so it's a long while ago. But by doing this, helping one another out, and making almost a sacrifice by helping others out, people still say, as Christians, we are weak and we're holding on to a crutch. Don't you believe it? Christianity lived properly is not an easy option in life, but a necessary one to bring to God. However, I suppose that one of the most difficult things we face, though, is discern who is in need. And of course, need comes in a variety of forms. And it's not so easy as we might at first think. Need is often hidden. Indeed, for many reasons, including perhaps pride and embarrassment, often those who need help most are the last to come forward. And without mentioning any names here, or Penge or Halkin, during my time in ministry, I've had some great surprises who's in need that you don't know when you see them. You can make a bloomer. When I was in Bedworth, again before I was into ministry, we had this couple come to the church, and they were quite, I suppose we'd say, poor. And I don't mean that by looking at them in a negative way. But he lost his job just before Christmas, and she wasn't working. And they got a young family. So us deacons thought, well, we'll do the right thing, we'll get together, what can we do to help her? It was decided eventually that myself and Sid, another deacon, would have a hamper put up for Christmas for them and take it down to offer them for Christmas. Well, Janet came to the door, she accepted that, And then we never saw them again. We never saw them again. I don't know whether it was embarrassment or people don't like to think they're in need and then they don't accept things. You can answer that yourselves, but it's not as simple as it makes out, is it? When you're helping somebody who's in need but doesn't really want to know they are in need and need help. Let me just come to my final point now. I feel the church, and possibly another right reason, it should be a witnessing church. And verse 33 in Acts 4 comes out with this. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that wonderful word, and the grace of the Lord was upon them. Well, although not a popular phrase today, nevertheless, the words, our duty is to witness about our faith to others. Now, anybody ever had a booklet called Cliff College Choruses? Oh dear. Anybody? Well, my book must be about 100 years old at home. And it's really just choruses were, you know, brought up. We used to have sing choruses in. Must be different in Hinckley to Kettering, I think. I have some choruses sung out most Sundays. But on the front of this booklet, it has the phrase, evangelize or perish. And that's always been here in my heart. Evangelize or perish. Indeed, the Great Commission itself, as found in Matthew 28, urges us to witness to our faith, where Jesus states, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean in many ways that we all have to stand on street corners or knock on doors. I'll give you another illustration. I've got a few minutes. Yes, we'll do that. Anybody ever knocked on doors in ministry? Or anybody here ever been door knocking? You can't do it so much today because people have got these special things like we have Oak Tree. You can't get in without pressing the button about you. Who are you? You know. We went to visit this couple. Well, we just passed up the road knocking on the doors. But always with an invitation of something, don't go, nothing to give them, offer them an invitation to the church for harvest or something like that. Well, you'll laugh at this. This couple, a young lady opened the door and she said, can I help you? I said, yes, we're from the church. We've come to invite you to, and before I can get those words out, a voice of a man boomed down from the upstairs. He said, who is it? And she says, they're from the church. Oh, give them the money and get rid of them. I've never forgotten that. We didn't go offended, we just went away laughing. Yeah. Of course, there are many other ways, aren't there, of spreading the good news, like interacting with the wider community. Got time? Yes. On the West Somerset Railway, I volunteered for that for 11 years when I went down to Taunton, thinking I'll get away from church for a time and have a time when we can just be with somebody, shall we say, normal? Not really. No, I don't mean that. Do you know what? I worked on Bishop's Lydiard Station on the Minehead line. Three retired Baptist ministers, including me, and the station master was a treasurer of Holcombe Baptist Church. So you never got around them, away from them in that time. But getting back to evangelism, this man once said to me, as I was about to dispatch a train, he said, what did you do in your life? What did you do in your life before you were a minister? I told him what I did, I was a minister. And he said, well, how do you believe in God? And I don't. I said, well, if you wait till I send this train out, I'll dispatch it, I'll answer your question. And this train went out, and I thought, I'll send an aeroplane up to the Lord to see what to say next. And when the train had gone out, I thought he might go, but he didn't, he was still there. I said, well, I'm going to answer your question. I said, but I'm going to answer it with this statement. I think you've got more faith than me. I said, what? What do you mean? If you're an atheist, I say, you've got more faith than us, because you can't prove that God exists any more than what we can, but we know from the scripture what Jesus did and the resurrection and his coming back. He said, I never thought of that before, and he went away. I never met him again. It just shows you, that's not massive evangelization, is it? You want to see it, but that's how it happens sometimes when we're actually challenged itself. The Baptist Union launched the project of sowing, reaping, keeping and growing a few years ago, just living out the faith we have, being light to those in darkness in many ways. You see, not only is the Lord's command that we as a church should witness to our faith seen by others, but it helps us to look outwards rather than looking always inwards upon ourselves as a church, where we find the fault which often leads to unrest and disunity. And I think there's a great balance to have here. If you're always looking outwards, you can neglect your pastoral work. If you keep always looking inwards, then you neglect mission, and then you can find you look at troubles, little bits which can grow and destroy a fellowship. So just living out the faith we have, being light in those in darkness, there are many ways, but we must do something to bring the light of God out there into the darkness which people are living. And I think at this point, I'm going to finish there, because I'm going to say something about Barnabas, who was an encourager. Encouragement is a useful word to know. Encouragement is what we all probably ought to do. Encourage one another on the journey. All of this has to be done through prayer. Everything I mentioned today about unity has to be done through prayer. And sometimes leaving your own agendas aside to go along with sometimes what you might think is not quite right, because for the sake of unity and the church and honouring to Jesus. Amen. Well, we're now to receive Bill Martin into the membership of Carey Baptist Church. And we enter into a covenant with him to share with each other in the building up of the church to the glory of God, working alongside one another in his service in the world and encouraging one another in the love of God. But will you please stand, please, Bill? Did you want to say one or two words or carry on with it?
Could I just say a very...
Yeah, of course you can. Yes.
Just to say that when Keith asked me which name I wanted on the certificate, I gave him my name, William Martin, and Bill in brackets. But it's interesting to be here back in Nelson Street / King Street, which is where my life virtually began. As my father lived in King Street, and I was born in 1945, and my name on my birth certificate is actually Dennis. But in 1945, I was smuggled out of town by my mother. She took me away from home, which was unusual in those days, and changed my name. I think the thing to do was get out of town and change your name, and those two things happened to me. And Dennis became William, and on my birth certificate at the end it's got a registration name, and the registration is William. I was doing a lot of thinking about what my name actually was. So it's the same name that I have on my birth certificate, in the registration column, and on my driving license as well, and my passport. Just very briefly to say, here I am in King Street, the street in which I was taken away from 77 years ago, started my journey of faith at Mount Pleasant Baptist in Northampton, and here I am in King Street. What am I doing here, 77, 78 years on? And there must be a story there. Well, Jesus knows what I'm doing here.
Absolutely.
And I don't. But through Neil and Carrie, who were the evangelists who brought me here, just to say, it's lovely to be in the street where I was virtually born.
Yeah. Oh, Bill, don't go down. You've got to sit, you're standing here now, dear brother. You've got to ask some questions now. Oh, answer, please, Bill, if you will. Bill, do you declare your faith in the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you believe God has called you to serve Christ as part of this local Baptist church?
I do.
And do you commit yourself to love and serve the Lord within this church community and in the world, and being filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfil your ministry in the body of Christ?
I do.
Oh, church, would you please stand? It's their turn now, Bill.
Oh.
Do you welcome Bill into the family of God in this local church? Do you promise to love, encourage, strengthen, guide, pray for, and care for Bill as an equal partner in the body of Christ?
Amen.
Having heard that, Bill, I'm going to offer you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you officially as a member of Carey Baptist Church.
Wow, thank you very much.
And we're going to ask Keith to present a certificate, please, for you, so you know you've done it.
Thank you.
You've just pinched my jar.
Oh, sorry.
I'm supposed to be on the right hand of fellowship from the church.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
When were you a member at Carey?
I can't remember.
Bill, William, Dennis,
Oswald.
No. We'd like to. You say Bill came into Carey by chance, but he didn't, because we all know nothing happens by chance. But he came in to see Neil and Carrie one Wednesday coffee morning, and here he stayed. And we'd like to welcome into membership of Carey Baptist Church.
Thank you.
There's a photograph there. There's a photographer behind
me. That might break the camera. Well done, Zoe.
Yeah. Gosh. Thank you.
Let's just pray for Bill now.
You need to pray. Right. Bill. Lord God, we praise you for the ways you guide our lives and give sense and purpose to them. And so thank you for the direction, all the direction and purpose you've given in the life of Bill. We are grateful that in this church he has found a home. We pray that the sense of your direction and purpose may not leave him, but may grow and mature and bear fruit in his life and the life of this church. Send your blessing on our life together through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can say a prayer, please, for Bill.
Dear Lord, just be with Bill as he continues his journey along this path. We just pray that you'll be with him as he serves you here at Carey. We pray for everybody that's going to be befriending with him and helping along this path. Just be with us all this week. Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you, dear brother. You can now sit down.
Thank you.
Oh, please sit down. We're going to now take part together in communion. I think for that I've got to hobble up the steps again.
Do you want your stick?
No, we'll be okay. Will the deacons please enjoy me for communion? Forward to the day when he will come again. Therefore, we need to come in faith, conscious of our weakness, seeking to renounce our sin, humbly putting our trust in Christ and seeking his grace. Let's hear a couple of scriptures. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not die but have eternal life. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let's hear then the words of the institution, where Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had broken it, he said, 'Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I'm going to ask Keith, please, to offer thanksgiving. Thank you, Keith.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come around your table to celebrate the bread and the wine, we particularly think of those that can't at the moment because of the things that are happening in this world. We pray that you'll be with these people and just be with them as they struggle, any of their struggles. We just pray, dear Lord. We celebrate Bill's membership this morning, and we bring him to his first communion as a member of Carey, and we thank you for Bill's faith and for his commitment to you, Lord, and to this church. We just thank you all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We eat the bread as we receive it. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much, Hayley. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Paul, body of Christ, broken for you. Haley, body of Christ, broken for you. After they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, "This blood is a new covenant sealed with it. Drink this in remembrance of me." We take the cup but wait until all have been served. Then we drink together, a symbol and sign of our oneness, not only with Christ, but with each other. Now, whilst in an attitude of prayer, it's, I think, my custom at least to pray for the body of Christ. We're part of that body of Christ. But I think before we do that, I think we ought to think of the situation in Israel and Gaza. It's very dire, as you know. Let's pray for that first. And we do pray, Lord, that somehow it's not impossible for you, Lord, to make peace, that they will find ways of wanting to help one another rather than fight one another. And the atrocities perhaps on both sides now should be covered, Lord, and may a miracle happen where indeed that would happen. The people want to love one another rather than destroy one another. No doubt that goes out for Russia and Ukraine and other countries fighting throughout the world, of which there are many, because peace is part of Christ's nature and work. And in your mercy, Lord, bring that peace. For our own church here at Carey, we pray for Keith Mitchell, the church secretary, for Neil, church treasurer, for the deacons who lead and make decisions, and indeed every member, friend and child attached. It's lovely here, Lord, we know, to see a variety of ages, in one from a baby right through to the elder people here. Lord, we're open to all, welcome to all, and may we always have that welcome and that joy when we meet one another. We thank you for the outreach, for the Wednesday coffee morning, for the Baptist Missionary Society we support, for the home mission we support, and the Goodwill Village. We pray for those who mourn, and we pray for those who are sick in this community. And Lord, one or two names have been mentioned, but we know who they are, and Lord, we want to pray now for them to be made well, that you'll surround those, Lord, who are seriously ill. And we know, Lord, your prayers often are yes as a response to our prayers. Sometimes it's no and you take them into yourself, but sometimes it's wait. Lord, we put our full trust in you for those we know who need your help at this time. Lord, help us to be a light, a bright light to those in the darkness surrounding this church. The light, Lord, will attract people within to come in. And Lord, we help we need in reaching those out there in this darkness. And so, Lord, we thank you for our meeting today. And as we prepare to sing our final hymn, thank you for being with us. And Lord, we just pray you'll bless each one of us as we go our separate ways, whether into loneliness, into deep decision, anxiety, or time with others. May we be united always in Jesus and with other churches. In your name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. I'm running on overtime here, so be careful.
I'm not booking for next year because he let all my things out of the
bag. I know. Oh, dear.